be Shaggybeard until I die. I am thinking to run away and be a puppeteer at a fair. Perkins said, You tangle your spinning, you tangle your weaving, you would tangle the puppet strings, you cannot be a puppeteer. A wandering singer, I said. Perkins said, Remember the monk who tried to escape from the terrible King John by disguising himself as a minstrel, although he couldn't sing, and how he was found out and hanged by his thumbs until they grew as long as a mule's ears? When you sing, it sounds like someone slammed a door on a goat's tail. You cannot be a wandering singer. A wart charmer, I said. Perkins said, You must first have the talent to make warts fall off. We tried it on the wart on his elbow. I do not have the talent. I could teach birds to talk, I said. Most people, he replied, think there is already more than enough talking in this world. You cannot teach birds to talk. I could have a booth at a fair and sell things, I said. What? He said. Ribbons. Where would you get them? Sausages. Who would make them? My old clothes. Who would want them? I pinched him and went home. God's thumbs. Sometimes Perkin is so sensible it makes my gut womble. 23rd day of March. Feast of St. Guinevere, who grew thirsty while hunting, so struck the ground with his staff, and three fountains sprang up, one for himself, one for his horse, and one for his dog. The Irish have always taken good care of their animals. In the solo with my father this morning. Daughters and fish spoil easily and are better not kept. You will, Lady Birdie, be wed. If this new suitor is stubborn enough to outlast your willfulness, he will be your husband. If not, I will find another, mayhap even less to your liking. Accept it. Will I then be caught in this marriage trap? If I must be wed, I'd rather it be to someone young and comely like Geoffrey. 24th day of March. Feast of St. Hildelith, Saxon Princess and Abbess of Barking. Although it is Lent, I contrived a game of squeak piggy squeak after dinner. I thought to find Geoffrey alone, but instead was caught by Walter Rufus, grinning and making kissing noises. God's thumbs, this marriage business is very complicated. 25th day of March. Feast of Our Lady in Lent, first day of the new year. It is 1291. I pray the new year brings us joy and wealth, that George comes back for Easter, and that Robert does not, and that God assist me in this marriage matter. 26th day of March. Feast of St. Liudger, Bishop, denounced for excessive almsgiving. Tonight I stayed awake for the Holy Book, for we read of all the ways martyrs have died for the glory of God, being disemboweled or boiled alive or skinned or eaten by lions or torn apart by the torture hook. Until the day of the last judgment, when all the dead shall be made whole again, heaven must look like the Abbey Gate, where the maimed and injured and crippled gather for bits of bread from the almoner. Morwenna says unless my behaviour improves, I will never know. 27th day of March, Feast of St. Rupert, Bishop of Worms. I do not know why worms have their own bishop and other creatures do not. As it rained so hard this day, we sat by the fire and told stories. William Stewart told of the nut-brown maid who fell in love with an outlaw and followed him to the woods to share even outlawry with him. I cried so hard, I had to wipe my tears on the table linen, for my sleeves were drenched. I knew those feelings of devoted love and the desperate need to be free. I saw Geoffrey near the door to the buttery, tears on his face, and knew he felt as I did. Mayhap we could be like the nut-brown maid and the outlaw, living in the forest beneath the sheltering trees, sleeping in each other's arms under the stars. Would Geoffrey follow me into the forest? If only he would look at me, I might read the answer in his eyes. Since he will not, I suppose I must ask him. 28th day of March. Feast of St. Alkelda of Giggleswick, Saxon princess, strangled to death by Viking women. Odd William says Worms is a place. 29th day of March. Feast of Saints Gwynhew and Gladys, who bathed in the River Usk summer and winter and went for long walks completely naked until their son, the holy Cadoc, made them stop. It rains again. I have spent the morning in my chamber making a new song. Every face has eyes, I mark, large or small, light or dark, brown or green or in between, black or grey or light as day, or blue as the wing feathers of a lark. Why then do some eyes flash a light, turning darkness into bright, saying words too proud to speak aloud, haunting my dreams, or so it seems, whether it be day or night? Why do some eyes make me want to shine, become more gentle, true and fine, make of me what I best could be, even when those eyes I so highly prize have never once looked into mine? 30th day of March, feast of St. Zosimus of Syracuse, renowned for being the last saint in my little book of saints. As soon as he has wood and thatch for a cottage, and her father has 3 pigs for her dowry, the oldest son of Thomas Baker will wed Meg from the dairy. He has been looking lustily after her for 3 years, since they were 12, and chased birds from the field together, and she finally looked back. Their fathers bickered, bargained, and agreed, so it is settled. They are very happy, and giggle at each other when they pass on the road. Why can villagers have a say in whom they marry, and I cannot? I wish I were a villager. 31st day of March, feast of St. Balbina the Virgin, maiden of Rome, buried on the Appian Way. I am confounded. What should I be doing these days? Packing up what I will need, living in the forest with Geoffrey, refusing to eat until Shaggy Beard gives me up, making another plan. Only 2 more weeks of Lent. April. 1st day of April, All Fool's Day, and Feasts of Saints Walric, Agilbert, and Tudoric. After Mass, I sent Tom, the kitchen boy, for pigeon's milk and asked William Steward to order me striped paint. They just grunted. I asked Morwena to help me gather hen's teeth, but she says I ask her that every Fool's Day and it has never yet fooled her. I spent the rest of the day sulking in the barn. The kittens have grown. 2nd day of April. Feast of St. Mary of Egypt, a female hermit who lived on berries and dates and was buried by a lion. Mayhap I could be a hermit. I wonder what they do. 3rd day of April, feast of St. Pancras of Taormina, stoned to death by brigands. Morwena is on a crusade to tidy me. I could not go out this day until I had brushed my hair 80 times. When I finished, I pretended I was going to join my mother in the solar, but instead took up a position in the hall from which I could see Geoffrey as he set up the table and benches for dinner. I plan to follow him every day until I know his heart, or at least can guess well enough, in this matter of following me into the forest. 4th day of April. Feast of St. Isidore of Seville, Archbishop and writer of books. An unlucky discovery. Geoffrey looks like a hedgehog when he frowns. Mayhap he will grow out of it. 5th day of April. Feast of St. Durfal, soldier and monk. I am full weary tonight from following Geoffrey from hall to yard to village to stables to hall. It is more tiring to get from here to the stables by going behind the pig yard, around the dovecot, through the muck heap, and over the privy, so that you cannot be seen than by just walking in a straight line from here to there. Geoffrey, I have learned, is good at games and sword play, meek and quiet when serving my father, better on a horse than the other boys. He is vain about his clothes, taking care to keep them clean and free of wrinkles. But he cannot read and does not wish to learn. He is polite to the bigger boys, but not so kind to the little ones. He is not exactly like the Geoffrey of my dreaming. 6th day of April. Feast of St. Brychan, who had 63 children. I could not follow Geoffrey today until near supper, for I was caught by Morwena this morning and made to do all the sheet hemming I had not done these many days. Bones! I near wore out my fingers. But finally I finished and escaped to the yard, where Geoffrey and the other boys were wrestling. Geoffrey had taken off his tunic and his shirt to keep them clean, and his body looked very beautiful in the sunshine. After, they all walked to the mill pond to wash. I saw Geoffrey, with whom I was willing to share my life and my love and my freedom, hobbling about, pretending to be Perkin while the other boys laughed. In my fury, I marched right up to him and for the first time looked into his eyes. God's thumbs! He looked like my brother Robert. One good shove sent Geoffrey and his beautiful body and his precious fine clothes into the mill pond. I hope tonight when he takes off his breeches a dead fish falls out. 7th day of April. Feast of St. Gawain, a hermit who lived in a cave in Cornwall, which must have been so cold and damp that only a saint could do it, or a fairy, or perhaps a giant. I am badly out of humour. I have lost the possibility of Geoffrey. I am no nut-brown maid who can live in the forest, and Shaggy Beard awaits me. Mayhap, after all this time, he has forgotten me and has moved on to torture some other girl with his unwanted affection. If not, I vow I will find a way to be rid of him. I will be no Lady Shaggy Beard. I can think no more on this now, busy as we will be with Holy Week, praying and fasting and chanting and weeping and holy books. Corpus bones! I utterly loathe my life. 8th day of April, Palm Sunday, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. The young people of the village went palming before dawn today to gather willow branches for the church. Most had more greenery stuck in their hair and clothes than in their baskets. I foresee a large crop of babies come next Christmas. 9th day of April, Feast of St. Madrin, daughter of Vortimer, High King of the Britons. This being the start of Holy Week, we now hear Mass every day and have two readings from a holy book. In between, I stole bread and cheese from the kitchen and ran outside. I could not let this first warm day of spring pass without my dancing in the meadow. 10th day of April, Tuesday of Holy Week, and the feast of Hedda of Peterborough, killed by the same savage Danes who killed King Edmund. I noted as I climbed into my bed last night that Watt was trimming the rushlights. This morning, although I woke before dawn, the worst of the soot was cleaned from the fireplace, the cold ashes were gone, and a new fire was brightly crackling. It occurred to me that Watt had worked through much of the night, and it also occurred to me that it had never before occurred to me. When does Watt enjoy the warmth of his bed? 11th day of April, Wednesday of Holy Week, and the feast of St. Guthluck, hermit of Crowland, tempted by devils. We have received a message from my Uncle George. He is coming for a visit after Easter. Now I have two worries. This joke of a betrothal to Shaggybeard, and my Uncle George. Is he still drunk? Does he still mope? Has my curse really blighted his life? Will I need to make myself more remedies against guilt? 12th day of April, Maundy Thursday, and the feast of St. Zeno of Verona, who liked to fish. Today we began to read of the passion and death of our Lord. It is a sad and tragic story, and I do not sleep through it, but watch it in my mind, like a play unfolding. I picture Jesus like my Uncle George, and my mother as his blessed mother. The evil Judas in my mind looks like the miller, scrawny and scowling and mean. Herod is my father, and Pontius Pilate that Sulacwit who was once my suitor. The apostles look like our villagers, except for St. Peter, who is Morwena in leggings and a tunic. St. Peter seems so human, and unlike a saint. I think he may be my favourite, although St. John is as beautiful as summer. Or Geoffrey. 13th day of April, Good Friday, and the feast of Saints Carpus, Papilus, and Agathonice, scraped with claws and burned to death. This sad holy day we spent in church, marking the death of our Lord. I wore my second best kirtle, so I would not ruin my best as we crept on the floor toward the altar. I don't know if that is fair to God, but I do not believe he wants me to ruin the only good kirtle I own. I believe he likes me to look my best when I hear Mass. 14th day of April, Holy Saturday, and the feast of St. Caradoc, a Welsh harper who lost his prince's greyhounds and so became a monk. My mother was not with us for the procession of our Lord's coffin around the church. Being tortured with headaches and the bulk of the growing babe, she stayed abed with a tonic I made her of chamomile and honey. Her discomfort discomforts me. 15th day of April, Easter Day, and the feast of St. Ruahan, an Irish abbot who engaged in a cursing match with the pagan rulers of Tara and won. Christ has risen. I got out of bed at dawn today so I could see the sun dance for joy, as it is said to do each Easter. It rained, as it does each Easter. The manor is full of guests celebrating the season, most of whom are sleeping in my chamber and my bed. I dream sometimes that I lie in bed and reach out my arms and fingers as wide as I can and stretch my toes to the bottom of the bed and do not touch anybody. And that I can get up and spin around my chamber, touching walls and bed and chest and not bump into any other person. What luxury! I think if I were a king, I would keep one room in my palace, just for me, where I could go and be alone. 16th day of April, Feast of St. Magnus, former Viking pirate. Today my family met the villagers in a mock battle on the fish pond. All of the rickety handmade wooden boats sank, but the sun was out and no one drowned. There are woolen kirtles and tunics and leggings hung from every tree and bush in the village and draped over the ovens and the dovecot here in the manor yard, while their owners run around near naked and white as plucked chickens, praying that the sun stay out until their finery is dry. I cannot enjoy this week of Easter feasting. I am too distracted by the shaggy beard matter. Lent is over, and I have no plan. 17th day of April, Feast of St. Donan and his 52 companions, killed by Vikings. A messenger arrived this noon from Shaggybeard. He is closeted with my father, negotiating my sale. Until Morwena found me and pulled me by my ear to the weaving loom, I listened to them argue. It was somewhat like this. First, feet shuffling on the dry rushes, then sword rattling and throat clearing. Finally, an unfamiliar squeaky voice began, "Great Lord Murgor of Lithgow, the Baron Selkirk, Lord of Smithburn, Random and Fleece, brings greetings to Rollo of Stonebridge and announces his desire to honour Lord Rollo by an association with his daughter, the Lady Catherine." "On the contrary," my father replied, his voice low and as oily as buttered haddock, "my daughter, the Lady Catherine, my pride and my joy, will honour the man she weds, not the other way round."
"Of course, Lord Rollo, acknowledging that, the great Lord Murgor, the Baron Selkirk, Lord of Lithgow, Smithburn, Random and Fleece, put aside reasonable demands and bade me ask for dowry only your wife's manor of Greenwood, which lies next his own, 400 silver coins, 6 oxen."
God's thumbs, I think myself worth at least 7 oxen. My father bellowed. I'll wager he turned purple.
"Dowry? He wants a dowry of me? Pay the pig to wed my jewel, my treasure, my angel, my only daughter? Out, sir! Away, sir! No more, sir!"
Aha, I thought. At last, I am delivered from the beast and the marriage by my father's greed. Another suitor gone. But then the messenger continued,
"Lord Rollo, understanding your tender love and care for the girl, the great Lord Murgor is willing to take but 4 oxen."
Here Morwena found me. I do not know if the messenger has been thrown out, if my father has choked from all the lies he tells, if Shaggybeard is so determined to have me he will forego the oxen. But it matters not, for I still refuse to consider this marriage, and will ignore the whole thing and hope the pig will die or fall in love with someone else or grow tired of my indifference. 18th day of April, Feast of St. Lazarian, an Irish monk who was struck with 30 diseases at once as penance for his sins. The negotiations continue. From what I could overhear, the oxen are out, and woven cloth is in. I am not consulted, and no one has noticed that I am ignoring it all. 19th day of April. Feast of St. Alphege, Archbishop of Canterbury, killed by Vikings with the bones of an ox. More talking. You would think my father and the agent of the loathsome Shaggybeard were making peace with the Turks, or preparing to invade France instead of arranging one little marriage. In the midst of all the talking, my Uncle George arrived for a visit, bringing his new wife, my Aunt Ethelfritha. She is as mazed and crackled as an old mixing bowl. Wearing her grandfather's straw hat and her skirts tucked up into her belt, she sits at George's table, rides by his side, and sleeps in his bed. My guts are much troubled. If not for my guts, I think I could love her. She fills our house, laughing louder than George, drinking more than my father, cooking better than our cook, and even ordering Marwina about. She sheds tears over every lovely, sad, happy, or holy thing in the world, and will eat no meat or fish or fowl for fear of causing pain to the creatures. Her dead husband, she says, still advises her, tells her where she left her straw hat or when to buy turnips. I would like to be like her when I am old. 20th day of April. Feast of St. Cadwalla, King of Wessex, who was baptized a Christian and immediately died. George told me of two cats who fought so fiercely that they ate each other up until nothing remained but their tails. I am pleased that he can still tease me, for else he seems much changed, slow and somber and silent. After supper, I watched him doze by the fire, cradling one of the dogs Elis brought to us long ago. I find I do not care for spells and meddling, and being responsible for changing people's lives. I am going to bed. 21st day of April. Feast of St. Mulraba, Apostle to the Picts. I watched the villagers sowing the fields this morning. They looked like dancers, swaying side to side as they cast the seed left and right, followed by boys throwing rocks and sticks at the birds. In my head, I understand the need to chase the birds away, lest they eat all the seed and we have no oats or barley this year. But in my heart, I weep for the hungry birds, and for a while, I threw rocks and sticks at the boys. Marriage talks continue. What do they have to talk about? I will not marry him, so it all means nothing. 22nd day of April. Feast of St. Theodore of Sicyon, who lived in an iron cage and made friends with wolves and bears. My Aunt Ethelfritha is behaving oddly. George says once long ago she was struck by lightning, which left her hair grizzled and her wits addled. Yestereve she sat at my mother's feet, strumming an imaginary lute and singing songs in make-believe Spanish. Today she thinks she is a sausage. I was greatly worried for her, but George said, "Let her go. She always comes back." I am greatly worried for George, too. He is turning into a guzzle guts, drinking and scowling and using up all of my headache remedies. I am to blame for this. Remorse is eating my innards. If only he would smile again. 23rd day of April. Feast of St. George, Slayer of Dragons, and my Uncle George's saint's day. This morning Elis came to see George on his saint's day, but he would not. He drooped and sighed about the yard, heedlessly throwing rotted apples at the pigeons. A wretched Elis wept noisily all over my chamber. I was overcome with bitter guilt and had to doctor myself with clary wine and custard to lift my spirits. It did little good, for my turmoiling guts caused me to fight with my father about Shaggy Beard, with my mother about my father, and with Morwena about everything. Normally I would talk to Elis or George and feel better, but they are too troubled to help me. I tried talking to Odd William, who said, "In the illimitable sweep of time, what will it signify? What will you signify? What will any of us?" God's thumbs. I heaved a jug at him and fled the hall. 24th day of April. Feast of St. Ives of St. Ives, from whose buried body a miraculous spring flows. Geoffrey has been called away from here. His father found a more important place for him to foster. I rejoice to see him go, but still think sometimes on his golden hair and his lower lip. 25th day of April, Feast of St. Mark, writer of Gospels, whose bones lie in Venice. I saw Shaggybeard's messengers in the yard talking solemnly to each other. Were the negotiations not going well? I decided to use my wiles to help drive them away. Finally, I had something to do besides worry and wait. I blackened my hair and teeth and acted like a fool, which worked once before, and for good measure let them hear me muttering to myself about meeting Gerd the miller's son in the barn. They looked at me with astonishment as I passed. Now let it be over. 26th day of April, Feast of St. Cletus, third Pope. Shaggybeard's messengers left before dawn this day. No one will speak to me of what happened. Is it over? Am I delivered? 27th day of April, Feast of St. Zita, a serving maid who would pray in ecstasy while angels did her chores. I tried to talk to my father. He would not. When I pulled his sleeve, he cracked me and shouted, "Have off!" I think it is over. I have won. Deo gratias. 28th day of April. Feast of St. Vitalis, martyred in Rome with his slave Agricola. My father, suffering from a sore throat, I made him a gargle of strawberries, water, vinegar, and the dung of a white dog. Because of how hard he cracked me yesterday, I put in extra dung. 29th day of April, Feast of St. Endelion, who lived on the milk of one cow. We had a peddler in the yard this day. He brought hats, ribbons, gloves, pots, and other treasures to trade for goose quills, beeswax, and salt. My mother sent me to buy ribbons for her, and I saw, hanging from the timbers of his cart, small cages of wicker woven like tiny castles with towers and gates. I had to have some for my birds, so I ran to my chamber to see what I might have to trade. I have no silks or velvets or laces, and can't imagine anyone wanting my embroidery. Finally, I rummaged through the rushes on the hall floor and found amidst the bones and grease drippings a penny and 2 farthings. The peddler had gone, but I chased him down the road and traded the coins for 3 cages, which I have suspended from my ceiling beams with lavender ribbons. My chamber looks more and more like heaven. Let others who sleep there complain as they will. 30th day of April, May Day Eve and Feast of St. Erkenwald, Bishop of London. The village is bustling as all prepare to go a-maying tomorrow at dawn. My mother insists that Morwenna go with me, but I can easily avoid the old baggage if she spoils my fun. I left open the window shutters in my chamber tonight, so I could see the fires lit on every hill. I believe they are shining for me, for a future without Shaggy Beard. I am filled with hope. May. First day of May. May Day and the Feast of St. Markul, who cures corrupt and rotten ulcers, suppurating rashes and other foul diseases of the skin. The loveliest day of the year. To the maypole haste away, for it is a holiday. Morwenna and I went out before dawn to gather hawthorn and rowan branches alive with flowers and wash our faces in the magical May morn dew, though I think it is too late to improve Morwenna's face. Gerd the Miller's son and Ralph Littlemouse brought down from the hills a small birch, which we stripped of leaves and branches and decked with flowers and ribbons. We leapt and danced around it, singing in our glee to have summer come again. John Swan from the alehouse and William Stewart's red-haired daughter Molly were acclaimed King and Queen of the May. John Swan also won most of the games, the wrestling and the running and the stick fighting, although Perkin climbed highest in the old oak. The village boys spent their time trying to kiss the Queen and any other girl they could reach. We feasted on berries and bread and cakes and ale in the orchard, and near noon Jack o' the Green came dancing in, his face and body covered with leaves, singing about maidens and love and kissing. I tied leaves and flowers about myself and danced with Jack, and then John Swan, and then John Swan again. Molly pulled him off to dance with her, and I tried to dance off with Jack as he left the village, but Morwenna stopped me, as I hoped she would. Second day of May, Feast of St. Genis, not the one who carried his own head. I am confounded. Shaggy Beard's agents, gone these last days, have come again. Shaggy Beard, it seems, is determined, and my behaviour and my wishes affect him not at all. Is he the suitor more greedy than my father and more stubborn than I? Oh, God, I pray not. The messenger's return changes nothing. I will not marry the pig. A wonder. I have not the powers to avoid Shaggy Beard. Did I then truly have anything to do with George and Elis? Or was there no curse? Third day of May, Feast of the Finding of the Holy Cross. May Perkin roast in hell. I asked him this morning for a small kiss, so I might know what all the fuss and poetry and song is about. But he just laughed and would not. Fourth day of May. Feast of St. Monica, who overcame a violent husband and a tendency to heavy drinking to become mother of the holy St. Augustine. I put my shoes on the wrong feet this morning, and it brought me ill luck indeed, for the negotiations are over, and I am set to marry Shaggy Beard. My mother asks that I not be wed and gone until her baby is born in the autumn, so I have a morsel of time left to figure a way out of this trouble. If only I had been able to become a monk, or a crusader, or a pilgrim, or anything but a maid about to be sold like a herring. I am sulking, and have refused all food since dinner. Fifth day of May, Feast of St. Hydroc of Lanhydroc, a Cornish hermit. Fought with the beast my father over this joke of a marriage. I roared, He roared. I threw things. He stepped on them. I pushed him. He shouted about stubbornness and pride, which should long ago have been broken, and delivered several hard blows to my face. 6th day of May. Feast of Saints Marian and James. Blindfolded, beheaded, and thrown into the River Rummel. Fought again with my father. God gave me this big mouth, so I think it can be no sin to use it. Even so, I plan to resume sulking instead of arguing. It is much easier on my face. 7th day of May. Feast of Saint Stanislaus of Poland. Killed by some king while he prayed. Still sulking, and have added deep sighs and ill temper. My father looks about to burst with anger. Good. I spent the afternoon in the far field with Perkin and the goats. He said my father manages me all wrong. Perkin said he learned about getting along with me by watching Sim with the pigs. If it is necessary to lead a pig forward, he said, Sim ties a string to its hind leg and pulls backward. The pig will then pull forward, and so goes ahead. And so it is with me, Perkin says. If my father pulled me backward, I would demand to go ahead. I mislike being likened to a pig, so left Perkin in the field, and am sulking in the barn, alone. 8th day of May. Feast of Saint Indrak, an Irish prince, who with his 9 travelling companions was set upon and murdered by brigands. More lady lessons. It is impossible to do all and be all a lady must be and not tie oneself in a knot. A lady must walk erect, with dignity, looking straight before her, with eyelids low, gazing at the ground ahead, neither trotting, nor running, nor looking about, nor laughing, nor stopping to chatter. Her hands must be folded below her cloak, while at the same time lifting her dress from the floor, while at the same time hiding her mouth if her smile is unattractive or her teeth yellow. A lady must have 6 hands. She must not look too proud, nor yet too humble, lest people say she is proud of her humility. She must not talk overmuch, yet not be silent, lest people think she does not know how to converse. She must not show anger, nor sulk, nor scold, nor overeat, nor overdrink, nor swear. God's thumbs! I am going out to the barn to jump, fart, and pick my teeth. 9th day of May. Feast of Saint Beatus of Vendôme, who lived and died in a cave where he fought and slew a dragon. More arguing with my father and more bruises. As Morwenna bathed my face in rosemary water, she said, Child, a dog is wiser than you. He does not bark at his own master. Perkin likens me to a pig, Morwenna to a dog. I wish I were one or the other. 10th day of May. Feast of St. Conleth, who was devoured by wolves. My mother still troubled by headache. I made her a tonic of chamomile, being out of goat dung until Perkin brings the goats home. No relief. 11th day of May. Feast of St. Credon, who killed his father and in remorse became a hog herd and a saint. I wonder how he did it. 14th day of May. Feast of St. Boniface, who led a dissipated life but was kind to the poor and died while protecting Christians. My mother being ill these past days, I have had no time for writing or, in truth, anything to write. 15th day of May. Feast of St. Dimpna, protector of lunatics. We sent for the Spanish physician who is visiting the abbey to see to my mother's headaches, for Morwenna and I can do no more. He is a little man in a black cape and a flat black hat that looks very like a big burned pancake. He advised her to avoid bad smells, keep her head cool, and not to cry, sing high, or shout hello. I advised her to get rid of the Spanish physician. 17th day of May, Feast of St. Madron of Cornwall, whose magic well one can still visit. My mother does better. I am still promised to Shaggybeard. It is raining. Life goes on. 18th day of May, Feast of St. Alfiavu, Queen of Wessex, mother of Kings Edwy and Edgar. I think Alfiavu a more suiting name for me than Catherine or Birdie. I asked Morwenna henceforth to call me Alfiavu, but she merely snorted. 19th day of May, Feast of St. Dunstan, who pinched the devil's nose with tongs. Still raining. I sat in the hall with Odd William, who also refuses to call me Alfiavu, but did read to me from his History of the World. He has just finished writing of the Trojan War and of Aeneas, who fled to Italy from the ruins of Troy, and his grandson Brutus, who was expelled from Italy for shooting his father with an arrow, thinking him an animal, although it seems to me a reasonable mistake. After many adventures, this Brutus came to the island of Albion, inhabited only by giants, and he and his followers built homes and settled down to stay, changing the name of the island to Britain, after Brutus. I asked Odd William why in that case it was not Bruton. He humphed and stopped reading, and I had to leave the comfort of the hall and find a place to hide from Morwenna and her everlasting weaving. 20th day of May, Feast of St. Ethelbert, King of East Anglia, a relative, no doubt, of my aunt, Ethelfritha. Still raining. No one will agree to call me Alfiavu, except Gerd, the miller's son, who cannot pronounce the name and says, Ugly Foo. 21st day of May, Feast of St. Colin, a Welshman who fought a duel with a Saracen before the Pope, went home to Wales and delivered the people in the Vale of Llangollen from a lady giant by slaying her. I asked Odd William about this story of St. Colin, for it seems the sort of thing he would know. William says it is but a fable, that St. Colin did indeed fight a Saracen and a lady giant, but the Pope was never involved. How pleasant it has been to lie by the fire and hear stories, and think about Greeks and giants and popes. Mayhap I could be William's apprentice. 22nd day of May, Feast of St. Helen of Carnarvon, Builder of Welsh Roads. In order to put an end to my idleness, which Morwenna says is the great pathway that leads to all evils, I have been made to hem sheets for my marriage bed. By cock and pie, would that I had threads spun from deadly henbane or spurge. This sewing of sheets makes a marriage seem more real. What am I to do? Am I doomed? 25th day of May, Feast of St. Zenobius of Florence, who raised from the dead 5 people, including a child, run over by an ale cart in front of the cathedral. Grown full restless with the rain, I thought to sing some of my songs to Odd William. He is, after all, a great scholar, and could give me an opinion of them. I had just begun my Lenten song when he commenced talking of his own work and the difficulty of obtaining enough paper, and how he is contemplating next a life of Merlin the Magician in rhymed couplets. He did not see me or hear me at all. Finally, I wandered off to throw gooseberries into the fire. They popped and hissed. Made as much sense as Odd William. He will have to find another apprentice. 28th day of May. Feast of St. Bernard of Aosta, who used dogs to help lost travellers on the Alpine passes. Walter Gray, the steward of Crossbridge Manor, stopped here today to drink our ale and to boast of a miracle in Crossbridge village. One of the villagers, he says, an unlettered man, with no language but English, woke up one morning suddenly able to speak fluent Hebrew. We once had a two-headed calf, which I think much superior to Hebrew-speaking villagers, but it didn't live very long. 29th day of May, Feast of St. Alexander, martyred in Milan. The news of the Hebrew-speaking villager has greatly excited Odd William. This, if true, he says, supports his growing suspicion that Brutus and the early Britons were not Trojans, but members of one of the lost tribes of Israel, driven from their homeland by the Assyrians. A villager who miraculously remembers Hebrew from the Britons long ago past would confirm his theory. William plans to ride to Crossbridge to see for himself. He has visions of glory and renown, with famed scholars coming from all over the world to consult him. Probably they will all want to sleep in my chamber. 30th day of May, Feast of St. Hubert, who became a Christian when he saw the image of the crucified Christ between the antlers of a stag. There was a wondrous, strange spectacle in our yard this dawn. Odd William tied his writing table, parchments and pens onto the back of the miller's mule and set out for Crossbridge and fame. His eyes, so well suited for close work like writing, fail at distances, so that William rides leaning greatly forward on the mule's neck, alternately squinting and peering far ahead, while rubbing that spot between his eyes where all this squinting and peering hurts him. Our villagers lined the road and called out to him as he passed, thinking him some sort of saint or holy man for his part in the Crossbridge miracle. Dogs, two goats, a goose, and several village children ran behind him, spattered with the drops the ink made as it spilled its way to Crossbridge. I should like to paint a picture of this on my chamber wall, but I fear I would never then sleep for laughing. 31st day of May, Feast of St. Petronilla, who refused to marry a pagan count and starved herself to death. The rain has stopped and the world shines. Everything seems more hopeful in the sun. It will soon be summer, and I am not Lady Shaggybeard yet. I will find a way out. 1st day of June, Feast of St. Gwen of Brittany, who had 3 breasts. Odd William has returned. He says the miraculous Hebrew the villagers spoke was but gibberish, the product of a brain fever or an overactive imagination. Gone are William's hopes for greatness. He is standing again, his back to our fire, writing of the founding of Rome by twin orphans nursed by a wolf. Second day of June. Feast of Saints Marcellinus and Peter, Christian martyrs, who converted their jailer while in prison. There was a message from Robert. His wife has died with as little fuss as she lived. I never once called her by name. It was Agnes. The child died too. It had no name. Strange things are happening to me. I am having so many soft feelings. Mayhap I need to brew me some wormwood and periwinkle to comfort my heart. Third day of June. Whitsunday and the feast of St. Kevin, who lived on salmon, brought to him by an otter and died at 120.